Morning, everyone. Today's Daf in Erev and Daf Nanal. Today we're back on Nun Amud Beis. We learned together a Mishnah, really basic Mishnah in terms of Erev Tchomim, which finds itself on Mem Tes Amud Beis. And in that Mishnah, we discuss the following scenario. A person's walking home on Shabbos. He's coming from another town and he's traveling and he's really, really in a bind. He realizes that he's not making it back to his town. And so let's say he's 4,000 amas away from his town. So that's obviously 2,000 amas too many, so he's really stuck. So what is he going to do? So the Mishnah says is he could forecast. He could forecast his tchum about 2,000 amas ahead of him. He knows there's a tree or a fence about 2,000 amas away from where he is right now as he's trying to get home. So what he'll do is he'll throw his erev tchum 2,000 amas ahead, says the Mishnah, and fine. But he's got to be precise about how he says it. The Mishnah says if he just simply says that, I'm going to read the words of the Mishnah, So if he says that my shvisa is going to be underneath the tree, without being specific in terms of where under the tree, and let's for the time being assume that this tree is a very large tree, the tree is let's say 30 amas wide, right? I'm throwing out a number, but in other words, it's a really wide tree. So the Mishnah says lo amar klum. He said nothing, right? It's a totally meaningless statement because he wasn't specific. Exactly where under the tree. However, shvisasi biikaro, but if he says, I want to be under the ikar of the tree, under the trunk of the tree, mahalach mimakam ragla vadikaro pai mama, so good. So now he can walk 2,000 amas from where he is to the tree, and then biikaro vad beso apai mama, now he walks another 2,000 amas from where he is, from the tree, back to his house. Good. Nimsa mahalach mechashecha arba salafi mama. And that allows him now to walk 4,000 amas. So far, so good. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara then brought down the following discussion. Let's go back to the first case where he was not specific, where he said, I want my shvisa to be tachtav. I want it to be under the underneath the tree, but he wasn't specific. So the Mishnah says, lo amar klum. He says nothing. What exactly does that mean, lo amar klum? So the Gemara brought down a machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Rav was of the opinion that when he said, lo amar klum, it means he said nothing, meaning he loses everything. Meaning, lo amar klum is not just a statement of he doesn't get his shvisa underneath the tree. It also is a statement of he doesn't get his shvisa underneath where he is right now. In other words, he forfeited his current area by saying, I want to be under the tree. He doesn't gain the area under the tree because he wasn't specific in terms of where it was. So therefore, according to Rav, he lost everything. He doesn't get anything. Okay, which I'll go on to explain Rav better in just a moment. That's Rav's opinion. What Shmuel says? Shmuel says no. Shmuel says that he does get the area under the tree, even though it's not specific exactly where under the tree he gets. He gets the area under the tree. What area under the tree? Unknown. Meaning, because the area of the tree is so large, it's 30 amas wide, so he gets a dalan amas area somewhere under the tree. We don't know where. Because we don't know where, says Shmuel, and again, as I mentioned yesterday's daf, there are two explanations of Shmuel Rashi brings down. I'm offering the first explanation of Shmuel, the one that Rashi prefers. And because we don't know where under the tree he established to be his Makom Shvisa, so that means he's going to be tethered to every single area under the tree. In other words, maybe some parts of the tree might make him home, but if some parts of the tree are too far away from his house, he won't be able to walk back home. That's the opinion of Shmuel. So Shmuel says, Lo Amar Klum, means that he won't be able to walk back home, but he will actually gain access to walk to the tree and 2,000 amas beyond from the tree. Good. That's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The rest of yesterday's Daf Nun went on to explain what's behind Rav's position. Rav says, Lo Amar Klum. Why? Why is it that he says, it's as if he said nothing. So the Gemara brings in two statements of Rav, but which are very similar to one another in terms of what's the problem with what he said. So the first way that Rav explains Rav is because he was not specific. He made an ambiguous reference. I want my dalal amas to be somewhere, and he wasn't specific where, and there's a number of possibilities of where it could be. It's a very large area under the tree. So the problem is, it was too generic. It was not specific enough, right? So lo misaime, just didn't simply, doesn't identify exactly where it's going to be. That's explanation one of Rabbah, of Rav, of our Mishnah. Then there's explanation number two, which is, and it gets to a very basic principle in halacha, that if you can't do something ze'achar ze', you can't do it bevasachas. If I can't go step by step, so I can't do it simultaneously. Here, I can't go step by step. Meaning, I want my dalamos to be under this part of the tree. Okay? I want my dalamos to be under that part of the tree. Well, you can't do ze'achar ze'. Meaning, because on Shabbos, you only gain one makom shvisa. So for you to make it step by step, you can't do that. So if you can't do a zachar zeh, you can't do a bevas achas. So now I can't look at the totality of the area under the tree and say, I want it all. Well, if I can't do it step by step, I can't do it all at once. That's why it won't work, and that's why Rav says, and what our Mishnah means, Lahar Maklum, is he gained nothing. His current position, he forfeited. The area under the tree, he hasn't gained. So literally, he lost everything. Okay, the Gemara then went on yesterday, Daf Nun, yesterday's Daf, the Gemara went on to yesterday, challenged this position, this approach of, if you can't do something step by step, you can't do it simultaneously. We asked from a various selection of Mishnayos throughout Shas, of whether, when we see that this is not necessarily the case, and the Gemara defended this general approach, and all these cases that we brought down were exceptions to the basic rule. Good. That took us to the top of Nun Amud Beis, and we are continuing. Amar Abaye. Very light top line of Nun Amud Beis. Amar Abaye, lo shenu ela be'ilan shetacht of Yud Beis Amma. Aval be'ilan shetacht of Yud Beis Amma, harei mitzas beis or nikar. Okay, someone mentioned this to me yesterday. What if it's a smaller area? Meaning I was talking about a tree that was 30 amas wide. What if the area of the tree underneath is not that big? Now, here we're talking about 12 amas. Now, why number 12? What's so significant about the number 12? So, as Rashi explains, it goes like this. If it's an area that's 12, now, I know we're talking in terms of a square area, but just for the purposes of our discussion, let's just talk in linear terms, and you'll get the basic point. When we say the number 12, look, as your Makam Shvisa, you're looking at four specific amas. Now, again, you weren't clear. You just simply said Tachtav. But if the totality is 12 amas, so it could be three distinct places: the front end, the back end, or the middle. Okay, so right, 12 can evenly divided by three is going to be four. So in other words, there's going to be three separate dalet amos areas. So in other words, of this tree that's 12 amos, it could either be one, two, or three. Section one, section two, section three.
I
understand that. But in other words, without overlap. In other words, it'll be three areas with no overlap. If it's 11, however, let's say it's 11 amas. So in 11 amas, so that center is always going to have an overlap. It'll have an overlap with section 1, and it'll have an overlap with section 2. Even though he was not specific, even though lo misayme, but in the very least, what's going to happen if there's a tree is less than 12 amas, if it's 11 amas, is that if I looked at the center, now I know that's a big if, but I'm going to say it, because that's basically what the Gemara is saying. If I look at the center, that center is going to have, if it was the center that he wanted, perfect. If it's the front end that he wanted, well, it encroaches a little bit on the center. If it's the back end that he wanted, well, it encroaches a little bit on the center. So if it's less than 12 amos, and again, I know that's an if, and if he was looking to get something in the middle, so at least he's covered all three of those possibilities of either front end, middle end, or back end. Good. Now you realize, by the way, the flaw in this argument is that at 11 amos, there still are two distinct possibilities with zero overlap. Meaning if it were the front end or if it were the back end, there's simply no overlap between the two. So it's a difficult shot. I'm trying to present it.
If you have 7 amos, no?
Right. Well, so that's going to be the next. That's going to be the next line of Gemara. But I'm trying to explain Abaye and the thought process of Abaye. But admittedly, though, it's difficult to understand because the middle has overlap between the front and the back. So Abaye says that's good enough. Okay, that's Abaye's position. Lo shana ala be'ilan shtachtav yud beizama. Ava be'ilan shein tachtav yud beizama. Hare mixas beiso nika. Fine. Maska v'ravuna b'rei d'rav yoshua mimai deba'ar ba'ar mitziyasa kamisayim. So the Gemara basically asked the question that we asked. Meaning, how come you're assuming that it's the middle portion of the tree that he's looking at? Dilma, barbe d'hai gisa, uva arbe d'hai gisa. It could very easily be that he wanted the four amas of the front end, the four amas of the back end. Once again, there's simply no overlap. At 11 amas long, there's simply no overlap between the front and the back end. And so therefore, we're back to the problem of lo misayme. It was an ambiguous reference. It could be referring to two totally distinct areas. So what did you gain? So Ella, so the Gemara says, fine. So we're going to basically make the same statement again, but we're going to cut the area down to size. Ella, Rav Huna b'Rei, Rav Yeshua, lo shanu Ella be'ilan shetachtav ches amos. Ava be'ilan shetachtav zayin amos, sorry, makes us based on nikar. Perfect. So now we're going to talk about a tree that's 7 amos. Now that the tree's 7 amos, and even though he was not specific what part of the area under the tree, but at 7 amos, wherever it's going to be, there's definitely going to be overlap between wherever he intended it, and wherever his Dalai Amos may in fact be. Meaning somewhere under the tree is my Dalai Amos. Again, he wasn't specific, but because it's seven Amos, wherever it is versus wherever he wanted it to be, there's going to be definitely some overlap. And under those circumstances, it's going to be fine. It's as if now he specified the exact location of where he wanted to be.
Which is the overlap.
Which will be the overlap. Which, again, wherever it is, it's there.
Why does it make a difference about the overlap? Meaning if it's seven, maybe he meant the four westernmost.
Okay, good. So if he meant the four westernmost, and
Dalai Amos, when you designate your Dalai Amos, it says if you're in the... I know we don't think really about this, but is it if you're in the center of the Dalai Amos, and it's...
In this regard, it doesn't matter. Meaning, wherever he is in those four amas, there are four amas. Wherever he may be in those four amas. But there's going to be four amas.
But when you say you have Dalai Amas,
right.
Is it being Dalai Amas in each direction?
Yeah, square. Yes.
Oh, so it's a diameter of eight?
Yeah. In fact, no. The diameter is going to be four. It's four by four. When we say four amas, we mean four by four.
So how does it help?
This tree... This tree has got, from end to end, this tree is seven amos. So if this tree is seven amos, so look, the problem this whole time has been, he hasn't been specific enough. And in other words, then just simply he forecasted somewhere underneath, but he wasn't specific where. Here, wherever it may be, meaning, he wasn't specific enough, but because he said he wants it under the tree, and because wherever it may be can very well turn out to be those Dalai Amos, because it doesn't matter where you put those four amas, it's going to be encroaching on...
There'll be some overlap.
There's going to be some overlap. Consequently, it works. It's
even
as if
though,
he's...
Even though you really don't know where...
Correct. And by the way, in other words, and Rashi makes this point, meaning then when you figure from the tree to his house, you got to go worst case scenario.
You still have...
Right. Correct. Hari mixas based on nikar. Tanya kavase derav. Tanya kavase derav. Tanya kavase de shmuel. Okay, and now we go back. And we go back now. Remember, we have two basic approaches of how to understand our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, tachtav, I said under the tree. So the Mishnah says, lo amar klum, he said nothing. So Rav says, when lo amar klum means nothing. Shmuel says, no, not nothing. It means you get some area under the tree, we just don't know where, and therefore you're tethered to every part of the tree. Good. In other words, let's put it in simpler terms. Are we okay with ambiguous references in terms of identifying your Dalai Amos? Rav says, no, we're not okay with ambiguous references. And Shmuel says, no, we're okay with it. That's the basic machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and the remainder of this daf, of this amud, I should say, is basically going to be, we have support for both of these positions from Braisos. The Gemara goes on. Sorry, Yigil Oso Makam, Tanya Kavase de Shmuel, sorry. Tanya Kavase de Rav, Tanya Kavase de Shmuel. Okay, second wide line. Tanya Kavase de Rav, Misha Babaderch Vechashcha Lavahaya Makir Ilan Oged, Devamash Visasi Tachtav, Lo Amar Klum. So you point to a tree, you point to a fence, and you say, I want my Shvisa to be underneath or right next to that wall. He said nothing. Aval. Im Amar Shvisasi Bemakam Ploni Mahalechach Magil Oso Makam, Higil Oso Makam Mahalechis Kula Vechutzalo Apai Mama. Good. It sounds exactly like our Mishnah. What is this Braisa? How is this Braisa shedding any more light on our discussion? Because of the following. Still part of the Braisa. That's only if it's a very descript area. Meaning, it's got walls around it. I mean, the area that I'm forecasting my Makam Shvisa to be happens to be an enclosed area. Enclosed, and by the way, once it's enclosed, it doesn't matter how big it is. Meaning, it could be 4 amas wide, it could be 10 amas wide, it could be Beis HaSayim. 5,000 square amas. It doesn't matter. Once you have an enclosed area, that's a Makam HaMesuyam. That is a specific area. Avaba Makam She'ein Mesuyam. Ein lo ela dalan amos. This is a kicker. Here's the key line. But if it's a makam shena mesuyam, like the area under the tree, which is what we've been discussing in our Mishnah, so then you got nothing. All you have is just dalan amos, meaning, and not under the tree, meaning presumably what it means is where you are, because you lost everything. You forfeited your current location, meaning you don't have tchum here, and because you were non-specific under the tree, or in any nondescript area, so you don't have that area as well. So therefore, all you have for that Shabbos is for Amos. Now, sure, the matter is we're done. Meaning, we could stop right now with the Braisa, but there's more to the Braisa. The Gemara is going to read more to the Braisa. But already, what you get from this Braisa is a support for Rav. That if you point to an area and it's a nondescript area, you don't get it. You don't get any of it. The Braisa goes on. The Braisa says, let's say two people are walking together. One knows the lay of the land. One doesn't. One knows there's an oncoming tree, fence. He knows what's happening up ahead. And one doesn't.
Is this support for Rav or Shmuel?
This will be a support for Rav. Because
Rav said, you don't have to be specific.
No, Rav says an ambiguous reference to me, you get nothing.
Oh.
Right.
And the same for the trunk of a tree, it's ambiguous also.
Correct, you get nothing.
Not so, under the trunk of the tree itself.
Oh, if, right, be Ikaro, but that's specific. Why?
Because you get this side of the tree, that side of the tree.
Okay, it's a good question.
They talk about your Tvachim and...
It's a good question, I'm not sure. But, I mean, the Mishnah assumes that that's specific. It's a good question. So here, you can help a friend out. Meaning you're walking home, you know what's upcoming, he doesn't know what's upcoming. He can give you, basically, his ability to make a makom shvisa. So in other words, you'll act as his agent. Look, I'm going to forecast my makom shvisa coming up ahead, because I know what's coming up ahead, and I could do the same for you as well. So good. So once again, the Braisa could not say it any clearer, and that is that if it's an Enum Mesuyam, if it's a nondescript area upcoming, and he wasn't specific in terms of where he wants to be, and he's just throwing it ahead to some place that's not going to work, and the kicker is, Lo yazuz mimkamo. You're stuck where you are. You can't go more than dalamas from where you currently are. So that is a great support for Rav.
It was worth the end of the break.
Yeah. It was great. Lemati avati after the Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Bryce, it's so good, in fact. So Shmuel, what are you going to do with this Braisa? So I'm a Shmuel, hachba my skin and kagon. So Shmuel says, look, I can defend myself. And I could present my position even in light, despite the Braisa. And I'll say, look, the Braisa is dealing with a very specific case. Kigon, de'ikami makom raglava adikaru tre alpeva arbe garmide. Look, the total distance from you to the tree, not the front end of the tree, I say front, meaning the tree that's part of the tree that's closer to him, is 2,000 amas. That's fine. The back end of the tree is greater than 2,004 amas. So in other words, do you know why he doesn't get any area under the tree? Because he said simply said tachtav, and he didn't point to any part of particular part of the tree. It could very well be that the one that he meant was the back end of the tree, which is greater than 2,004 amos. By the way, 2,004, why that number? Because even after 2,000 amos, if your makom shvisa is within 4 amos of that, we learned this earlier, so then you can walk another 4 amos to get there. Okay, so in other words, the point being very simple is that the other side of the tree is outside of your tchum, and that's why the Braisa says you get nothing. Now, it's interesting because can't we argue that what he meant is the part of the tree that's within access of him? That's what he meant, which would make a lot of sense. I guess so, but the point is that because he wasn't specific, so we have to take every part of the tree under consideration. So the imuk misle beidachisa de ilan kamle levar mitchoma, and then the problem is that the outside of the tree, the back end of the tree, is going to be beyond his tchum. Isi and dalamas matziazo veilo lo matziazo. Okay, and that's what the Braisa is talking about, and that's why in the Braisa he doesn't even get to walk to the tree because parts of the tree are outside of his own tchum. That's how Shmuel will defend himself from the Braisa. Tanya kavasi de Shmuel. Now we're going to go the other way. We have a Braisa that supports Shmuel. Let's say the guy made a mistake. In other words, no, he knows about tchum. He heard about it, right? Or let's say he learned Erevin, but it was a long time ago, and he forgot one of the most basic rules, which is one: you're only allowed to make one makom shvisa. And this guy made two. Okay, simple mistake, basic mistake, but he made it. In other words, he said to himself, "Oh, I thought you can make two." Okay. Or he's got two avadim. Each one of them set up a different tchum for him. Mahalach letzafon keiruv v'ladarim v'ladarim meiruv letzafon v'imitza alav esatchum lo yazaz mimkomo. You know, the Mishnah in Ava says, marbe nesachim marbe daga. The more possessions that you have, right, the worse off you are. So here now, one of his avadim put his Erev Tchum all the way to the north, 2,000 amas to the north. Another avid put it all the way 2,000 amas to the south. And where can he walk now? Nowhere.
How come they didn't use the expression like camel and donkey?
Well, here it's worse than a camel donkey. Camel donkey usually means at least you can walk between the two. That's usually what Gamal Chamar tells us to do. Here,
1,000 each way.
Huh?
Isn't he allowed 1,000 each?
Not if, in other words, there's 2,000 from where he is. So in other words,
one on both sides. I don't know. So why didn't he do 1,000
here? No, he's at the far extreme of both.
Of overlap.
Right. So basically, they just squeezed him into where he's standing right now. Okay. So lo yazuz bimkomo, so he cannot move from his place.
Opposite direction.
Right. They have to be in opposite directions. So here, once again, where exactly is his eruv? So it's ambiguous, meaning we're not exactly sure where his Erev is. It's somewhere out there. They put it out there. He thought he could make two. Now the answer, now we know he can't. So in other words, this is very analogous to basically an ambiguous Erev laid down for him. Now the circumstances are a little bit different. I'm going to give you that. But the basic point is that you know you can't make two, and he put down two, so you could very easily argue, well, two in the world of Erevin equals zero. It's nothing. So if you were of the position of Rav, you would say you don't have an Eruv because you can't lay down two. So let me tell it to you after the Rav. And meanwhile, the Brisa says that both of them are going to basically pin him down. Well, why should that be? So the Gemara says Rav Tanu Upalig. Gemara over here, this is like the ace card of the Gemara, that when you have a Brisa and it's difficult for Rav, so Rav Tanu Upalig. It is interesting because the Gemara, before quoting this Brisa, quoted a previous Brisa. And the previous Brisa supported Rav. So another thing the Gemara could have said was, okay, look, it's a machlokes between Brisas. The first Brisa clearly is supportive of Rav. So, okay, either way, Rav's position is defendable. So far, so good. We continue in the Gemara. Now, in the case of our Mishnah, let's just go back again. Let's rewind for just a moment. In the case of our Mishnah, he's trying to get home. He's not going to make it. He's 4,000 amas away. So what does he do? He moves his Erev Tchum 2,000 amas ahead of him. As it's getting dark, I'm going to ask you a simple question, which is going to be the Gemara's discussion right now. Does he have to be able to get there during the Bein HaShemeshes period? And I think somebody asked me this question yesterday. Okay. And I'll be totally honest, I didn't remember today's Gemara. So my answer at that point was, I don't know. My answer now will be yes. Okay? Amar Rava. Well, it's not my answer. It's a Gemara. I'm sorry, let me just read the heading. Amar Shvisasi bikara mahalach mimakum raglav adikara apai mama mikara lebeis apai mama nimtza mahalach mishachashecha dad alofim ama. Good. Mishnah. He gets to walk 4,000 amas now. Amar Rava. He must be able to get to the base of the tree by the Bein HaShemeshes period. Meaning, think about it, it really makes perfect sense. He's projecting his Erev ahead of him. But in other words, how is he gaining his Erev? He's gaining it with his legs. Meaning, this is Ma'ari Baraglov. It's not with food, it's with his legs. How would he be able to project his Erev forward to a place, even if it's 2,000 amos, but he won't be able to reach before the Bein HaShemeshes period? It is a little bit strange. So Rava says it must be that at least he would at least potentially be able to run there. Not that he has to, but at least potentially he's able to run there before the Bein HaShemeshes period. V'hu d'chirahi li karamati. We did have that machlokas. I don't remember.
Doesn't this depend on that?
It was the end of the Bein HaShemeshes period. It's tchilas hayom konam. All right, so that would impact. That okay, fine. Whatever the case is, either way. Meaning the basic point is you got to be able to get there. So the Gemara says, yeah, but look back at the Mishnah and read the Mishnah carefully. The Mishnah says, meaning where you are right now, it's getting dark. So in other words, doesn't the Mishnah make it sound like you, it's we're here, you're not going to make it? So the Gemara says no. So v'hachashcha lo ketani chashcha leveso, meaning what you're not going to make is you're not going to make it to your house. That's what you're not going to make. Avali karshal ilan matza azil, but you can make it to the tree. Good. So the Gemara defends Rava, and that's, by the way, the halacha. Rebbe spoke about this yesterday. Like this is going to happen. But if it does happen, so you got to know that if you want to fast forward, if you want to forecast, you're ahead of where you're walking. It has to be a place that you're able to reach.
It's interesting because back in those times, their unit of time was half of the travel. It's a circular argument because he's saying the time it takes, but he doesn't know how long it's going to take him.
Right. Well. The assumption is, again, every Gemara has assumptions built in. Assumptions in this Gemara is that he knows. He knows how long it's going to take him, and he knows that he can get there. If he wanted to, he can run and get there. By the way, it's interesting. He doesn't have to walk, he doesn't have to run. He can walk. The point is...
That's a potential.
Right, that's correct. Now, Ika da Amri Amar Rav Chashkalo Ki Maske Kale Kale. Aval Rahin Mati, in other words, or this is what we could say, meaning Chashchalo means, yeah, if he walks, he's not going to make it to the tree, but if he runs, he'll make it. Same conclusion, meaning that right now, at least potentially, he could make it to the tree by the Beinosh Moshe's period. Rabbi Rav Yosef Avakazle Ba'orcha. Gemara tells a story regarding Rabbi and Rav Yosef. They were walking. Amalei Rav Le Rav Yosef. Teishvi Sasenu. So now they're there. They're in that scenario where they're walking home. They're not going to make it. So now they're trying to forecast their erev ahead of us. So Amalei Rav Le Rav Yosef Teishvi Sasenu Tusi Dikla De Savel Achvei VeAmalei Tusi Dikla De Parak Mari Mecharga. There was a tree upcoming. They knew about a specific tree, and so Rabba was forecasting the Erev ahead to that tree. Okay, you can take a look at Rashi in terms of what exactly these trees are. Parik Mari Dakarga, the second version, is that it carried fruit, and with that fruit that this particular tree grew, so they would use it to pay taxes. Karga is the famous tax that was discussed often in the Gemara. And either way, the point is, there was a tree coming up ahead. They knew the tree, they knew it well, and they projected their Erev to that point. So Amalei lo yadanalei. Now apparently this is Rav Yosef talking to Rabba, I believe. So he says, I'm not familiar with that tree. Now remember, Rav Yosef was blind, but we don't know. Meaning we don't know if it was before he was blind or after he was blind. Okay, so it could go either way. Anyway, point is he didn't know. So Amalei smoch alai. So he says to him, okay. Put on my shoulders. Detanya, Rabbi Yosi, Omer, Im Hayushai Mechamakir, Vecheshena Makir, Zeshena Makir, Mosta Shvisa Solamakir, Zeshena Makir, Omate Shvisa Senba Makamploni. Now, look, we have the Brisa. And the Brisa says that exactly the scenario where two people are walking and one does and one does not know the lay of the land. So the one who doesn't say to the one who does, you do it for us. Good. Right? Everything's perfect. It's a great story that punctuates the Brisa. There's one subtle change. It's not a change. Wrong word. There's one subtle addition when he quoted this Brisa that we didn't have when we saw the Brisa on Nun Amud Beis. Anyone see it? What that little addition is? It's so subtle. It's attribution. Meaning, the Brisa didn't say Rabbi Yosi Omer. The Brisa just simply says, see what he did? He said, you know who says this halacha? Rabbi Yossi. Now, it could be that it's just simply referring to another brisa. But the Gemara's assumption is it's not. It's referring to the brisa on the previous Amud. So basically what he did, I guess Rabbah is the person we're blaming, what Rabbah did is that he quoted this brisa, but he said, oh, you know who said this brisa? Rabbi Yossi said it. Now you remember, right? Remember just a short couple of days ago, we went through a Klale Apsak. We talked about who beat who in a fight. So remember, right back on Mem Vavam and Beis. Remember, Rav Yossi trumps everybody. Rav Yossi is the ultimate. So I have a Brisa. And oh, by the way, Rav Yossi said it. Even though, in actuality, as we look at the Brisa inside, you see Rav Yossi didn't say it. So, Velohi, the Gemara observes. It's not so. Lotana Leker Rav Yossi. And the only reason, I know this sounds disingenuous, I'm aware of that, but the only reason why he attributed it to Rabbi Yossi is just so now he's adding a little bit of weight, a little bit of authority to the statement. Oh, by the way, Rabbi Yossi said it, and now you don't have to question me anymore. Rabbi Yossi said it. Okay. Again, I realize it opens up a little bit of a Pandora's box. How can you do that? How can you attribute to a position that you just simply know the price? Okay, good. You understand. It's an issue. And we move on. I'm acknowledging it's an issue. I don't have anything to add to it. I'm sure in the notes he discusses it, which I didn't look at, but I'm sure he discusses it. Another question that somebody asked me the other day, where do we get these 2,000 amas from? And I just, again, I get to show off my ignorance. I do it daily. And I looked at the person, I said, well, it's a din d'rabbanan. How could there be a source for the 2,000 amas of tchum? Okay? So I was wrong. Now, remember, let's remind each other. Right. First of all, there are Tanaimur of the opinion that's a din daraisa. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir say that tchum is a din daraisa. Okay, but the normative approaches and the halacha, meaning it's the accepted halacha, because we get to be lenient on dinei derabanan. The accepted halacha is that tchum is a din derabanan. So it could be that what we're about to do now is get involved in the world of asmachta. It could be. We can go either way on this point, but anyway, there are going to be a source for 2,000 amas. Now, if you know Chumash, you'll know that in the world of Tchum Shabbos, first of all, is Tchum Shabbos even mentioned in the Torah? Alluded to. Shvu ish tachtav. Everyone stay where you are. Meaning that on Shabbos, there's a certain idea that you're here. You can't move around.
What's
Al Yitzei Ishmim? Al Yitzei similar, again, Pashtus in the Torah, it's not talking about Tchum. But Pashtus in the Torah is just simply saying, don't go out to collect the mon. You're right, don't go out, because there's not going to be any mon over there. And some people did. There's no clear reference in the Torah to Tchum Shabbos. There is a clear reference in the Torah to Tchum, but having nothing to do with Shabbos. Right? Ari Levium, which we're actually getting to in this week's Parsha. Okay, great. Detanya. Shvuish tachtav el arba amas al yetzei shmem kamo el alpay mama. So shvuish tachtav, that's 4 amas. Al yetzei shmem kamo, that's 2,000 amas. Minalan, okay, the Gemara asks a really simple question. How'd you get from point A to point B? The pasuk says al yetzei shmem kamo. Oh, there's 2,000 amas. Like, well, what happened? There's obviously a lot missing in between those two exits. So Amar Rav Chista, Lamano, Makom Imakom, Makom Miniso, Veniso, Miniso, Veniso, Migvul, Ugvul Migvul, Gvul Mechutz, Chutz Mechutz, Dichsiv. Okay, now, I'm not going to do this now, and take a look at Rashi. Rashi goes through every one of these psukim. All right, if you do the count, you'll find this is a 6-tiered Gzeirah Shavah. Right, I mean, even in our... Right, even in our lexicon of Gzeirah Shavah, what can I tell you? I know about a minyan which is a double Gzeirah Shavah, right? Of Ada, and what's the other step of that Gzeirah Shavah? Huh? Oh, that's another one. That's another Gzeirah Shavah. That's in the beginning of Yevamos. Okay, very good. And to get to a minyan, it's Ada. Oh my gosh. Okay, it escapes me. Right now, fine. All right, it'll come to me later, of course. But anyway, here, 6-tiered Gzeirah Shavah. Right. In other words, we basically are connecting word, 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 word. Okay, that's. I don't think there's a longer one in Shas. So, and again, this may not be a bona fide Gzeirah Shavah teaching us a din d'oraisa. It may be just simply an asmachta. Again, you can go either way. Good. So, in other words, and where does it all end us? It all lands us on the Arei Levium. By the way, I said in this upcoming Parsha, not correct, right? Bahar B'chukosai mentions a Miklat, but you go to the end of Bamidbar. Okay, fine. Anyway, the Arei Levium, so the Torah over there mentions 2,000 Amos. So, taking us backwards, basically through the sequence of Psukim, it gets us to the Pasuk of Al Yetzei Ishmim Kamo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's another pasuk that describes not 2,000 but rather 1,000. Dan chutz mechuzin, dan chutz mechutza. The Gemara says, yeah, but we're more precise in our gzeir shava. If the match is chutz chutz, that's a better match than chutz chutza. Oh, my nafka. Mina, the Gemara asked the question, which I think is the most often asked question in Shas, which is that when you make a gzeir shava, the words don't have to be exact. V'atan debe revishma v'shava konu v'akoin, zuhi shiva v'zuhi biya. We have a gzeir shava in the world of tzaras. Not going through the halacha, by the way, Rashi on this daf, on this hamad, actually goes through the halacha of how the gzeir shava works in terms of a hezger for a mitzara. You'll forgive me, I'm not going to go through it right now. The simple point right now is that when you make a gzeir shava, the words don't have to be the same. The words don't even have to be exactly the same. I mean, it doesn't have to be the same word. Right? As long as it connotes the same idea, the Kohen's coming back. One time the Torah describes it as uvaha Kohen. The Kohen came back. Another time the Torah says Vishava Kohen. Those are two different words, but the point is that you can make a Gzer Shava as long as it's connoting the same idea. So the Gemara says, Hani Mila Echad Aleka Midi Damila. Ava Hechad Ikad Midi Damila. Midamila Yafinan. So the Gemara says, you're right. You can make a Gzer Shava even if the words aren't exact. But if I have a selection, and of the selection I have a better match, I'll go to the better match rather than the one of the poor selection. Good. So far, so good. Tchum Shabbos. How do I know 2,000 Amos? Six-tiered Gzera Shava. We move on in the Gemara. Alpai Mama Agulos. And here we go now with the discussion of how exactly are we going to square the Gzera Shava. Okay. To make a centralized point, we'll go 2,000 Amos in every direction. Now, as we go 2,000 amas in every direction, so the obvious question is this a radius? Now, if it is, so now what is happening is that I'm creating a circle. And so your tchum is going to be 2,000 amas in every direction, even northeast, even northwest. Okay, that's a simple way to view tchum, and that is, in fact, in our Mishnah, the first opinion in our Mishnah of Rabbi Chanina ben Antiknos. Now, here's what bothers the Gemara. So we'll start the discussion here. Apaim ama agulos. Rabbi Chanina ben Antiknos ma nafshach. Now the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, we just learned the source of tchum. Okay. And it was based on a gzera shava that took us to the Ari Levim. What shape was the Ari Levim? A square. So E is like gzera shava, peyos ksivan. So if you subscribe to the gzera shava, whatever level it is, it's a real gzera shava, it's an asmachta, however you want to do it, but in other words, it gets us to a point where we're talking about a square shape. It describes corners. There is no corners in a circle. And he lays like Gzera Shava by Mama Menalai. And if you don't hold the Gzera Shava, because here you have a circle, and the Ari Levim are squared, so then how did you get to 2,000 Amos? Where else is it coming from? So La Olam is like Gzera Shava, Vishani Hacha, Damakra, Zeh Yelechem Migasheha Arim. So the Gemara says like this. Let's defend Chanina ben Antiknos. Truth be told, he holds the Gzera Shava. That's how he got to 2,000 Amos. So why is his tchum looking circular when the city of the Levim are square? So he says that's easy. Because look at the pasuk regarding the Migershe Arim. It says Zeh Yelechem. Now the word Zeh is a miut. It minimizes, meaning Lezeh Atanos Empeos. So in other words, yes, the conclusion is 2,000 Amos, but no on the shape. Here, meaning in Migrashe Ha'arim, it's going to be squared with Peos, but with Shofte Shabbos, it's not going to be squared, it's going to be circular. Yes?
Didn't you see a similar concept when we had the mezuzah on the arch of the door? So it extends out to the square.
Yeah, that's a different issue. You're right, but that's Chokik in Lahashlam. I mean, that's the issue of, can I carve into a wall even though it's not actually carved yet? Here it's just a question of, simply put, how do I inscribe now our four directions? Tani Rabbi Chanina Omer Kazeyu Kol Shoftei Shabbos. So Rabbi Chanina taught in a braisa, this will be Kol Shoftei Shabbos. Meaning when it comes to any and all halachas of Tchum, This is how it's going to be, meaning not circular but rather square. I'll come back to that point in just a moment. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, Hamavir Dal Amos Bereshus Rabim. Now here we get to a point which so interesting. I mean, Thank God. Right, we've gone through Erevin before. But not, and I know I've said this before. And in other words, I know I've taught this before. But it's funny, as I was going over the Gemara last night, I was saying to myself, oh my gosh, I totally forgot this. Meaning, we've been saying, since the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, to be violating Shabbos, you have to either carry from one Rishus to another, or four Amos and a Rishus of Rabbin. Right? That's been dogma for us. For 5 months, 6 months, more. Okay, good. Now, when we say four Amos, do you know what we mean? We don't mean four Amos. Did you know? It's so funny. I remember this, and I told if you woke me up 2 nights ago, I would have forgotten. It's not four Amos. It's 5.6 Amos. How did that happen? Hamavir Dams Rishus Rabim Einu Chayev Achemavir Hein Va'alach Sonan. Okay. Let's take this step by step. Let's start with Tchum. I know we're not talking about Tchum right now. I know we're talking about Dal Amos, but the point is basically going to be the same. Let's get rid of our circle. Okay? What ends up happening, this is the halacha, is that it's squared. Well, so what, why am I making it? Yeah, let's make it like that. Okay, good. And so that means that it's squared. So if I wanted to walk southeast from my point of center, so I get all that. Now, this is 2,000 amos, this is 2,000 amos, and so therefore, this distance, this is easy, right? 2,000 squared plus 2,000 squared equals that line over there, okay? Square root of that, correct. Very good. So in other words, whatever that distance is, someone wanted to do the math for me quickly right now, that's fine. In other words, but obviously the distance over here is going to be much longer.
5.6.
Huh? No. The tchum of 2,000. 2700, approximately.
1.4 should be 2800.
Okay, whatever. Okay, you get the point. It's going to be longer. So if you want to walk there. So in other words, when we say 2,000, and you're walking along the diagonal, so it actually affords you 2,700. Now, let's talk about Dalar Amos. Okay, so we're just talking now four Amos. So to violate Shabbos, I have to carry four Amos in a Rishus HaRabim. Now what we're saying is, not along the side, but rather along the diagonal. It's this area over here. So it's 4 and 4.
That's 5.6.
And that's 5.6. Okay. Right. Rashi actually says the number 5.6. Good. So this is 5.6. So whenever we're saying Dal Amos, we're talking about the diagonal. There is an interesting debate amongst the Rishonim. It's right here on the Daf. Right? Does that mean now that when I carry on Shabbos, I have to be geographically aware? Meaning, is this 5.6 when I'm going... Just like in the case of Tchum Shabbos, here, everything is based on compass. Meaning, this is north, this is south, this is east, this is west. I'm only allowed to walk 2,700 only when I'm going on a southeast, northeast, northwest, southwest. Is that also going to be true over here? The Gemara says flatly that you have to carry now on Shabbos, to violate Shabbos, it turns into a kula. To violate Shabbos, I got to carry not four amos, but the diagonal, 5.6. Is that also going to be based on the map? Or are we just simply saying that 4 is always going to equal 5.6? So that debate, you take a look at Tosos. I'm not going to go through it right now. But Tosos argues that very point. In terms of...
What's the halacha?
You want to know something interesting? This I looked up last night. Okay, slow night, the Sugarman Hill. So this I did look up. The Rambam says it's 5.6. But the Rambam also says, now, this is interesting. It's always, I had a prepared answer for you today. I'm very happy. First time in a long time. The Rambam says, you're not going to be chayv on Shabbos until you carry 5.6. And the Rambam makes no distinction of direction. Whether you're going north, northeast, northwest, good. The Rambam says, now we know, the halach is, we've talked about this many times. If I carry less than four amos on Shabbos, not only is that pater, it's mutter. On Shabbos, you can pick up an item in a Rishus HaRabim and carry three amos and put it down again. Okay? There's no chatzi shir when it comes to four amos. But then the Rambam says that if I carry anything between four amos and 5.6 amos, pater aval aser. It's interesting. Where the Rambam got that from, I'm not sure. But that's the... yeah, in other words, whatever. Okay, that's the beginning of an answer to you. Well, no. In other words, you have to know the compass. You have to know the map. You have to know what's due north and what's due south. Okay. Question time. Let's say, I see the time. Let's say that you have a structure that's 10 tvachim high and 4 by 4. In other words, what we have been saying up until now is this, is a Rishos HaYachid. Now, we're going to be rethinking everything, aren't we? Meaning, if 4 amas no longer means 4 amas, if 4 amas means 5.6, because we're always going on the diagonal, does that mean that every time we give a linear measurement of an area, notably Rishos HaYachid, which is 10 tvachim high, and it's 4 by 4, is that 4 by 4 on a diagonal also? Is that also going to be on the basis of not 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, but 4 tvachim, make a triangle out of it, figure out the hypotenuse, which is going to be 5.6, and that's going to be Rosh Hashanah Yachid. V'amin alei, lav hainu d'Rav Chanina, d'tan Rav Chanina, omer kazeyu kol shav se Shabbos. And now we're going to say affirmatively, yes, meaning kazeyu kol shav se Shabbos. Whenever you figure any measurement of Shabbos, you are going to now have to use a hypotenuse of that number. So for a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Yachid is no longer going to be 10 by 4 by 4, but the Rosh Hashanah Yachid is going to be 10 by 5.6, 5.6. And even the 10, I guess I can question this as well. Even I know it's going to sound bizarre. Maybe the 10 is also going to have to be based on a hypotenuse and not on the height. Although I'm not sure if I'm ready.
Agreed.
I agree. I'm not sure if I'm ready to go there. And again, I'll say the same thing again I said for the Da'amas. Right? Does that mean, once again, is that every single time? Or does that mean only if it's going on a northeast direction? That then we have to figure out the hypotenuse. And again, that's look at Tosfos for that discussion. Okay. We'll stop here. Meaning, we're out of time. And really, we're starting a new discussion in the Gemara. And so, okay, and it's one, from here until the next Mishnah, Nun Beis, it's just basically one thread. It's one point. Okay, quick recap of today. We finished off the discussion of the Mishnah in that Eino, when he says Tachtav, it means you got nothing. Machlok is Rav and Shmuel, what exactly that means. Well, Bryce is supporting Rav, Bryce is supporting Shmuel. What it means when he says you get nothing, fine. I assume the halacha is like Rav. Meaning by Surin. This is Isser V'Heter. So I assume the halacha is going to be like Rav. When it says that you are forecasting your tchum ahead of you, you must be able to run there before Bein HaShemashas. That was the position of Rava, unchallenged really. You have to be able to run there. And then, very basic Gemara today in terms of how do we know 2,000 Amos? So the Gemara brought in a six-leveled Gzeirah Shavah to Rav at that conclusion. And then the question of when we say 2,000 amas, is it a radius in a circular shape, or is it square where you get to gain the corners, machlokas in the Mishnah, and then is that also going to be true by all the other measurements of Shabbos regarding Dalat Amas, Birshus Arabim, regarding the definition of Birshus Yachid, and the Gemara says it's going to affect all measurements of Shabbos as well. Okay, let's stop over here.